Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey! Happy Saturday!
Hey, BE community, how y'all doing?
Yay. Hey!
Well, if you looked at the graphic or the flyer for this week, you know we're going to be giving up some top secrets here. Top secrets, okay? So,
as if we haven't already given away so many of our secrets.
It's been a spicy season, okay? And if you don't know, go back and watch. I mean, literally just last week, we were spilling tea. So just literally, it was sipping tea, but we were spilling tea. So just go back and listen. But before we get into that, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. This week was spring break.
Okay.
And so Ryan was out of town for work. So okay. I spent a lot of time with the kids. Okay. I baked a cream cheese.
You got a bake?
Okay.
Okay.
And the children helped me make it. And so I spent a lot of quality time with them. Mm-hmm. A lot of like, let's watch movies together. And that part was nice. Mm-hmm. I kind of took a break from schoolwork type mm-hmm. of stuff. Thankfully, mm-hmm. one of my professors gave us a break and like canceled Good. One of the assignments mm-hmm. so that we can kind of rest and mm-hmm. rejuvenate to
yeah.
finish out the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So that was just nice to kind of like take a breather
mm-hmm.
And get ready. It's like I feel like I'm getting ready for the last lap. After spring break, just like
yes.
finishing out the year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a very nice time. Since Ryan was out of town, I was able to eat, you know, my seafood.
Yes, get it in, girl.
Great. Shout out to our ABA therapist that
Yay.
Comes. I won't disclose her name.
Top secret.
But she does these like cooking lessons mm-hmm. with one of my kids. Mm-hmm. And since we knew Ryan was going to be out of town,
yeah,
like we had like planned it out
in advance. Huh?
Yeah. So we did a seafood broil.
Yes.
Nice. I had some crab cake, shrimp, corn,
Sounds
potatoes,
really
sausage. Like it was nice.
Yes.
And I think she's a little bit of a chef, or she's had some experience being a chef. So anytime she does her cooking lessons, like it's always like tasty. And
yes.
I'm a foodie. So
yes.
like I love it.
I love it.
And she's teaching our kids like healthier ways to not drink soda. So we make like natural sodas and
Very
stuff
good.
Like that. So that's been nice having mm-hmm. her come to the house. So that's always a treat for me.
Yay, I love that. I'm so glad you were able to take some time and enjoy with your kids. Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
Yay. How was your week?
It was good. It was a little busier than I would have liked coming back from vacation. But I knew a lot of people would be out because of spring break. So I was really hoping I could kind of catch up on some stuff, you know. Not so much the case. It was still pretty busy. Like I literally hit the ground running. So I'm just learning y'all to take it one day at a time. In some cases, it's 1 hour at a time, or one meeting at a time, one email at a time, one presentation at a time, like whatever I need to do in order to just kind of, you know, take it step by step. And I was talking with my husband this week, and I was telling him, I was like, it feels like whenever I feel like I am, you know, getting sure footing or starting to gain a little confidence, then something comes and like knocks me off my feet. And I'm like, oh, didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Up. You know, I feel like, oh, I might be getting a hang of it. And then the next minute I'm like, nope, I don't know anything. I'm still figuring it out. So, I mean, I am learning to embrace the fact that that's God's way of keeping me dependent upon him. But it does not feel good. It really does not. I was like, can I just have a day where I like actually feel like I know what I'm doing, or where I actually plan something and it goes according to plan, you know? So we'll see. We'll see. But just the season we're in, I guess, just trust in God. So it's been a good week, but a very full, busy week. I did though, do some fun stuff. Y'all know, okay, I am in birthday month. Okay. I celebrate all month long. And so one of the ways that I celebrate, and y'all have heard me say this before, April is like legacy month for me. So I really do things that honor my mother as well. And so my love for the arts comes from my relationship with my mom. Like, she, first of all, she named me after Maya Angelou. But second off, like, since I was a child, she has exposed me to different forms of art. Of course, she exposed me to other things as well, but art is what I gravitated towards. And when she saw me gravitating towards that, like, she, you know, worked hard to expose me to different things, you know, like Dreamgirls, getting to see that musical, or, you know, studying people like August Wilson, the playwright, or Gordon Parks, the photographer. Like, she was really intentional about exposing me to different art forms when she discovered that's kind of what I was gravitating towards. So each year, as a part of Legacy Month, I do something creative. And so this month I have signed up for dance classes. So,
wow.
Yes. So I have taken dance classes before. I mean, I grew up taking dance classes, so I have a background there. But of course, you know, life be life in adulting, all of the above. And I don't really get to do it as much as I used to. And so I try to be super intentional. Okay. So I signed up for some dance classes. If you follow me on social media, I did post in my story a choreography clip, because I was feeling proud of myself, because it's one thing to, like, okay, follow the leader and you got your little two-step going, but he was like, and one and two and I was like having a, I call it an Auntie Viv moment. Like, I don't know if you know the episode of Fresh Prince when she yes. turns 40 and she takes her dance class and she's feeling overwhelmed, and then she comes back and she kills it, right? She's killing it. Okay, y'all know the step. Okay, I can't do it. But anyway, all that to say, I felt like I had my Aunt Viv moment, because he came in there and he was like, and one and two. And I was like, oh God, what did I sign up for? Help me, Lord, help me, Lord. And he broke it down and I got it. And I was like, okay, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. So when we were running it through near the end, I recorded it and I put a little clip on my social media page. But yeah, I call that my Aunt Viv moment. So if you follow me, if you know me, you may see more clips throughout the month, because I'm going to be taking at least three more classes, if not more. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So
what kind of dance class?
Well, this was a hip hop one. This was beginning hip hop. But I have done jazz. I have done ballet. I've done like funk, groove, R&B kind of, you know. So I have done African. I've done salsa. But yeah, this one this week was hip hop. And I'm taking classes. There's a variety of classes to choose from. So I may continue down the hip hop path, or I may try something new. We'll see.
Okay. We'll see.
So yeah, so that was definitely a fun reprieve for me this week. It was literally the middle of the week, and I have been going back and forth, like, am I going to go? Do I feel like going? And literally after one of them days of work where I was telling you, like, something popped up and just knocked the wind out of me, I was like, oh, I need to go. I need a change. I need a change of mindset. Like, I need a shift in mentality. And so I went and I had a good time. But yay. I was sore the next day, but I had a good time. So
you say you were sore the next
day? Oh, yeah, girl, I was sore the next day. My husband was messing with me, but I had a good time. So stay tuned. More to come.
Yay. I can't wait yes. to hear more.
Oh, yes. So that was my week. That was our week. So shall we dive on into secrets for the single, sexy and saved? Now, okay, when we were planning out this text sheet, I think I told you, I was like, I bit off of Toya's book. You wanna hold up your book?
Sure.
Because Toya's book is called Secrets of the Sexy and Shameless. And I was like, ooh, like, we could really play off of that. But I really wanted to make sure, and you address, you know, dating and being single in your book as well, but I really wanted to call out the singles. Of course, we're gonna talk about sex. And I really wanted to talk about, like, just the character traits of being a woman of God. So that's where the saved came in there. So, you know, here we are. We out here in the deep end again, in
once
case you ain't know. Yes.
Maya's got us out here in the deep
end. I'm here. So, all right. So let's dive on in. Shall we talk about the singles
yes.
first?
Yes.
Okay.
Singles.
Yes. So I really, okay, if y'all watch Track Stars, if y'all fans of Track Stars and you happen to have watched last week's episode, I did have the opportunity to sit in with the fellas. It was actually a couple of us women sitting in. Shout out to Shania and Miracle who came through. And for whatever reason, we got on this subject of toxic masculinity versus toxic femininity. And so I'm just going to give a little overview before we dive in, because some people are like, well, what is toxic masculinity or what is toxic femininity? First off, quick plug, if you want cliff notes on what toxic masculinity and toxic femininity are or how they may be prevalent in our society, shout out to my husband. He recently started a channel called Kingdom Ox, A-U-X. And I have the privilege of helping him with voiceovers every now and then. And okay. So he did a series, a Let's Discuss series. One is on toxic masculinity and one is on toxic femininity. So check it out. Super short. They're like 5 minutes or less, but really give you a great snapshot on what it is, how it contradicts the word of God, and what does it look like from a biblical perspective? What should it look like from a biblical perspective? Okay. So I'll do my best to kind of give clip notes here. Okay. So let's start with toxic masculinity. And I'm just randomly picking one because some people are like, well, we wouldn't have toxic masculinity if we didn't have toxic femininity, or we wouldn't have toxic femininity if we didn't have toxic masculinity. But I really feel like one feeds the other, and it's kind of like this cyclical thing, and they just keep feeding each other until you decide, hey, I'm going to do better. So I'll start with toxic masculinity. Or some people, I think, do they call it maybe the red pill? Nonsense, maybe. I don't know.
I've not heard of that.
But it's basically when men feel like they have to exert dominance in order to, you know, be respected by women. And in some cases, it's disrespectful. In some cases, it is abusive, just downright abusive, whether it's physically or verbally or mentally. But it's just this like ultra alpha male who feels like they have to be dominant and exude control and not show any form of weakness at all. And in some cases, men have said they take on this persona because of toxic femininity. And toxic femininity, I would say, is like the super independent, I'm a boss chick, I don't need a man, I make my own money, I own my sexuality. If I want to be naked, I'm gonna be naked. If I want to, you know, whatever, you know, I don't have to get married, but I can still have children, or I can still do this, I can still do that. Like, I make my own, like, that's toxic femininity. Okay. And so we're gonna dive into why those exist and, you know, kind of how we could combat them. So I'll just stop there and say, based on those miniature definitions, again, what are your thoughts? Like, have you experienced either of those or see? She's like, yep.
Yeah.
Tell us, Toya, tell us.
And I won't disclose this person's name, but okay. I have definitely dated a toxic masculinity person.
Okay.
I definitely have. And some of the traits that I remember, like, as you're talking, this person was extremely aggressive.
Oh, wow.
Even to other men. Like, oh, wow. If, for example, if someone may have, like, if another man talked to me or asked a question, it could be an innocent question, not even flirtatious. Mm-hmm. Like, it set him off. Mm. So he was very, like, alpha male. Mm. No one talked to you. No one touched you. Don't look at you. Mm-hmm. Like, and people were kind of scared of this person. Oof. Because he could be violent.
Oh, wow.
Like, he was like kind of like a little fighter, too. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it turned into some, like, verbal abuse and mental abuse. Not quite physical abuse, but it felt like it was going in that direction. Yeah. Like, when he punched a hole in the wall, like, next to my face, that to me was like red flag,
yeah,
time to get out of here.
Yeah.
And it was like over like stuff that was trivial or very controlling too. Mm-hmm. Like that person mm-hmm. that I'm referring to was mm-hmm. super controlling. Mm-hmm. Did not want me to go to the movies with with girlfriends mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. hang out with girlfriends.
Yeah.
It was just like this person wanted like all of my yeah. attention, like all the time. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which was not healthy yeah. at all. Yeah. And of course I kind of escaped that mm-hmm. relationship, mm-hmm. but I do know what it looks like and feels like. Mm-hmm. Those type of men typically make you feel like kind of like you're this like this queen mm-hmm. and like they can't live without mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. which is crazy.
Yeah.
But they make you feel that way.
Yeah.
And they make you feel guilty like if you want to ever like leave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they may say things like I can't live without you or I'll kill myself.
Yeah.
If you leave me. Like that type of manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've definitely experienced it and I had to get out of that mm-hmm. relationship. So,
wow. So, okay. What do you think that stems from?
That's a good question. Thinking back, this person did not know who his biological father was. Mm-hmm. And so I think he struggled mm-hmm. a bit, even though like he had like a stepdad that yeah. was in his house, in his life.
Yeah.
I think he still struggled with that father-son.
Got it.
Like relationship yeah. was kind of missing.
Yeah.
And he might have overcompensated mm-hmm. Like I'm a man and this is what a man yep. is supposed to be like.
Yep.
Without having like a role model mm-hmm. to really mm-hmm. show him.
Yeah.
And then when he would come over to my house and saw how my mm-hmm. parents kind of mm-hmm. operated, it was different mm-hmm. than what he was exposed to or experienced. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah,
you know, my mom was like, you know, like giving me warnings, yeah. like, I don't think this is the person for you. Yeah. Like, I see, like, your mom usually has like this wisdom.
Yeah, she's absolutely.
Like, she's like, I see anger, mm. I see temper, I see like all these things. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he may have a good heart, mm-hmm. but he's got a really bad temper.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was right yeah. in the end because I didn't see all that at mm-hmm. first.
Yeah.
But eventually mm-hmm. I did. And I was like, oh, wow, my mom was right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one because I think you're onto something. Like, I feel like toxic masculinity is often rooted in insecurity or not having proper male role models in your life. Mm-hmm. And so you look to the world, you know, instead of to the Lord. And so let's talk about biblical masculinity. What do you think biblical masculinity should look like? And okay, here's the deal. We know, y'all, we are not men. We are married to men of God, though, number one. And we know Jesus, who is the ultimate definition of biblical masculinity. So we're going to give our perspective. But I do think, I was thinking about this earlier, just side note, that we need to get our husbands, but some single men back in the studio. Because we did do a segment called mm-hmm. What Men Want. And we had, shout out to our brother Damo, who's now.
Yes,
but we had him and our husbands on and we had a great conversation with them. So I do think we need to do that again in the future, but we're going to give our what we consider masculine or biblical, excuse me, masculinity to be from a woman's perspective. But we will have men on here in case you're wondering.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say for me, mm-hmm. what I would say for a healthy or biblical masculinity mm-hmm. should definitely be a man that has a, number one, a relationship with
Amen.
God
Amen.
And knows how to pray mm-hmm. and seek the face of God mm-hmm. because ultimately he is the head of household and mm-hmm. you want to make sure that he is steering you and leading you in the direction
yeah. Yeah.
that you should be going in. Mm-hmm. And so if he does have that relationship with God, then I think you can rest in knowing that he is going to God with all of the decisions that he is making. Now, I know we live in, we're in this earthly world, and we're not spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. And so there's a practicality too that you have to consider, because even though they may be a follower of Christ, I have seen some Christian men that have toxic masculinity traits as well.
I have
seen it before.
Okay.
And they are, you know, true believers, and but they still have some controlling tendencies.
Yeah.
And like, I've witnessed it and seen it with their spouse. Mm. And I'm like, ooh.
My Lord.
Like, he telling you what you can and you can't eat and you can't have that. Because, like, controlling, like, to that point where, you know, he's not letting his wife, like, eat certain things because he wants wifey to stay a certain size or whatever the mindset is. But I'm like, woo.
Yeah. That,
it can happen even in a Christian household too.
Okay.
So I do want to point that part out. So you've got to make sure that you are praying and discerning if that person is who you should be connected to, because you can have toxic masculinities that you meet in the church and that have many characteristics of a godly man, but may still have that alpha male complex where they have to be like, I'm the manly man or whatever. I don't know. But that's not my current experience. I will say that my husband, Ryan Righteous, I definitely think he's masculine sure. But I don't think he's toxic. Now, we've had to have conversations, if I'm being very transparent and honest. I think that was something we struggled a little bit with, some of the gender roles when we got married. And even still, like, we are still learning.
Yeah.
Because we have four kids. And so our family or in household doesn't necessarily look like what a typical a typical stereotypical family would look like, where, like, with gender roles and stereotypes, and, you know, he knows how to cook, he knows how to clean. We still working on him doing the hair for the girls.
That's all right.
He can't be good at everything, but he does try a little bit on the edges.
I love it.
But we've had to have those conversations because, hey, I'm working too. Like, I cannot be Betty Crocker and, you know, Susie Homemaker and bringing home, like, all this money too. Like, I can't. I'm not Superwoman. Like, we've got to figure this out and what it looks like in our family. And I think it's also kind of based on, like, maybe what he saw growing up or what your current spouse, their experiences, I think definitely shapes how they are in a marriage. And so I know we've had to really talk through some things because gender roles don't really work. And not the typical ones. At least. So
I feel you. I'm just going to go straight biblical and talk about Jesus, because I feel like he was the ultimate definition. It still is the ultimate definition of biblical masculinity. I mean, he, you know, he wept, but he was flipping tables at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And so Jesus wasn't no punk. You know what I'm saying? Like, he walked in his authority, you know. He was humble, though. You know what I'm saying? He served. He was a servant leader. Do you know what I mean? And so that dynamic, I think, is so important to see in men, where they're confident, they're strong, they're courageous, but they're also compassionate. They're also humble. They're also servants. Like, they serve their families, you know? So I think that those dynamics, or that dichotomy, is important to see, especially if, you know, we're talking about building a life or sharing a life with somebody, you know, even thinking about David. David was a warrior. David, like, taking down lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Like, he's, like, fighting people on the backside of the mountain. Warrior, you know. David, what would they say? David has slayed 10,000s and Saul has slayed thousands, or something like that. But he was, like, a warrior. But then the same man was a musician. You know what I'm saying? The same man wrote poetry. This same man was a man after God's own heart. You know what I mean? Like, he was not afraid to weep and repent and fast and ask God for forgiveness when he was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that balance and that dichotomy is so important. Okay. So I just want to be clear. We're not talking about, you know, men being punks. We're not talking about that. Mm-hmm. We are talking about men being leaders, but we are also talking about the men being willing to embrace that dichotomy. And in order for them to embrace that dichotomy, it means they have to be secure, first and foremost, in Christ, but then secondly, in who God created them to be. You know what I mean? So they don't feel like they have to prove something, or they're not concerned about what other people think, you know, or they're not comparing themselves to other men, but they are literally seeking the face of God and striving to be more like Jesus every day. Yes. So, yeah. So that's all we got to say for now about masculinity, toxic and biblical. But again, you can do your own research and let us know if you have any other feedback or thoughts in the chat.
Yes.
So let's talk about toxic femininity, okay? I feel like toxic femininity is a problem. And sadly, just like you were saying, not only is it a problem, you know, secular, like in the mainstream, but it's a problem in the church. Like, we have a lot of toxic femininity in the church, in the body of Christ. Just like you were talking about toxic masculinity in the church. And so, wow, what do I say to women that are exuding toxic femininity? First off, I will say, I don't think there's anything wrong with being strong and independent, but at the same time, there's also nothing wrong with being weak and dependent upon the Lord, first and foremost. And I think this whole thought about, you know, I don't need no man. Okay, well, first of all, we all need Jesus. So if we, let's start there. Let's start there, especially we're talking to the singles here. So if you cannot exercise dependency on the Lord first and foremost, then you will not be able to exercise dependence, like, in a lateral relationship with someone of the opposite sex. And contrary to popular belief, you will need to be dependent upon your husband, and your husband will need to be dependent upon you. That's where teamwork and partnership comes in, because, like, when you're becoming one, it requires vulnerability. It requires transparency. It requires you, you know, exposing your mess, basically, and honestly being open to someone challenging your mess. Okay. But if you aren't open, first and foremost, with the Lord, the Holy Spirit doing it, then you'll never be open to a man doing it. Okay. And that's the reality of it. So being willing and open to, like, surrender to God. Okay. And that's a whole other thing that we'll get into, you know, later on. But if you're not open to God in that manner, first and foremost, then you won't be open to, you know, leaning on a man. And again, that's all the more reason why you want to make sure that you are pursuing relationship with men of God. Because, of course, I get it. You know, when you're vulnerable and you're transparent like that, it opens you up. It opens you up to being hurt. It opens men up to being hurt. But that's why it's important to be in relationship with someone that knows the Lord and someone that is yielded to the Holy Spirit. because there are many a times where, you know, we're going to make mistakes, bottom line. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit who can tap me on the shoulder and be like, you need to apologize to your husband. Your tone was not cool. That was not cute, you know, or you need to go back and repent, you know, to the Lord, you know what I'm saying? And then maybe somebody else too, your husband or friend or whoever. So you've got to practice all of that as a single, because it's like multiplied by 10 when you're in a relationship. So again, there's nothing wrong with being strong and independent as long as you are yielded to the Holy Spirit first and foremost. I wouldn't even say there's anything wrong with making your own money, having your multiple degrees, you know, like having building a beautiful life for yourself, you know, beautiful house, nice car. First of all, we don't want you to be in debt doing it. Okay. So prayerfully, you are exercising restraint and self-control and being a good steward over whatever resources you have and not focused on just looking the part. Okay. Because that's key. As a single and being married, but then also too, okay, so you have a beautiful life. Does that mean that you are only dating someone that has the same number of degrees or the same number of figures in their salary or the same type of car? Because to me, I'm just saying that seems a little superficial. It seems a little superficial to me. And not to say that someone that makes less than you cannot take care of you. Because are we only talking about being taken care of financially? Are we? I mean, let's be clear. Because there are plenty of people out there who are married to somebody who making bank. And they are not being taken care of. That's all I'm saying. So be clear on what you're looking for, and why you're looking for it. Because are you basing it on what the world has said? Are you basing it on what you see in your feed when you're scrolling through stuff? Or are you basing it on the word of God? Okay. And I'm strictly talking to my Christian singles here. Okay. Because if you don't know the Lord, we invite you to know him. But at the end of the day, if you call yourself a Christian, okay, well, what are you measuring your standards up against? You know? So I would say that to someone that may be struggling with toxic femininity, because I really feel like there are women that have lost out on amazing men of God because they didn't make enough, or they weren't dressed the way we wanted them to be dressed, or they didn't have enough swag, or I'm just saying, like, these are real things that I know I personally had to work through. So I know it's other women working through it. And at the end of the day, you have to think about, okay, what characteristics in this man are eternal that I will benefit from in the long run? Okay. A brother can learn how to dress. That don't mean you need to teach him. Maybe somebody else needs to, but a brother can learn how to dress. A brother can make more or he can make less. You know, you could spend all this time seeking out the person with six figures and they can get laid off tomorrow. Okay. Money is going to come and go. Okay. But these are all superficial things that I think we start basing our future on with somebody. And it's like, when you're talking long term, when you're talking the long game, you need to focus on substance. Substance, stuff that's not going to change. You know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff that's going to be consistent. So that's where I feel like toxic femininity comes into play, because we become more focused on the superficial and we become more focused on how we're perceived, like by others, you know, by ourselves. We want to be in control. It's just a lot. And so if we don't figure these things out as a single and in our personal relationships with God, then it will only get worse when you're talking about a relationship.
Yeah. And I've seen it for sure. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of like he needs to make X amount of money and all these different things. And I'm like, you're going to be single for a minute. Mm-hmm. if that's what you're focused on. You're going to be single and probably disappointed when you don't get that.
Yeah. Or,
and like you said, like they pass up like decent Christian men because they're focused on the wrong things.
Yeah.
And like you said, in the end, that stuff that doesn't even matter.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
It's when you need somebody to pray for you, or when you get laid off or you get sick or whatever, things change. Life brings about many challenges and many changes, and you have to be plugged in and connected to someone that is able to withstand those challenges and can pray you through it. Because just because you're making six figures doesn't mean you'll always be making six figures.
Exactly.
Life changes. It's so variable.
You want to base your life partner, your decisions on who you're going to spend the rest of your life with, on things that are consistent, not things that are fickle and that are going to change or superficial. Like, for real, you know? And I know plenty of people where it's like, oh, he, you know, he takes care of me, but they don't spend no time with him. They don't spend, they throw money at him, basically. Here, go shopping, go have a pedicure, but you can't have a conversation with him, or they don't know how to cover you in prayer, okay? And I'm not saying that people that make less than you can't take care of you, because the reality of it is someone who makes less money than you and they love you like the like Jesus loves the church, they're gonna spend every dime they have to make sure that you and your household is taken care of. You're not gonna miss a beat. You're not. And that goes back to what we've talked about too, about how it's not his or her money anymore, it's your money. And so it's a lot of different things that come into play, okay? We are not saying be somebody's sugar mama. We are not saying, you know, to focus on taking care of a deadbeat, because again, you know, having the character of Christ means that a man, regardless of how much they make, has a strong work ethic, has a purpose, has a plan, and is a servant and takes care of their family. You get what I'm saying? So we're not saying any of that, but we are saying, do they really have to make six figures, or do you want them to make six figures? And not to say that they can't make six figures. You might be the missing piece. You might be the piece to help them get to those six figures. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So do we have anything else for the singles?
Singles? We done gave y'all lots of nuggets this season.
Yes.
Y'all better go back, listen to it.
Pick them up. Pick them up. Reflect. Hold them close.
And I think that's it for y'all singles.
That's all we got for you today.
That's all we got.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so we're going to talk about sex, but we're actually going to talk more so about being sexy. Okay. And I really want to read this definition. It kind of ties into the topic we were just talking about toxic femininity versus biblical femininity. And so I really want to give this definition of biblical femininity from our girl, TK Lee. We hope to have you on the show soon. We're trying to make that happen. But we had the opportunity to hear her speak at Portia Love's event, Esther's Arrival. Okay. So her definition of godly femininity is a divine design reflecting God's grace, compassion, vision, creativity, and beauty. It's about embodying elegance, a nurturing spirit, and keen discernment. As women of God, we bring the rhythm, the flow, and the essence that makes life flourish. I just feel like snapping on that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she wordsmithed that thing for real. But I think what stuck out to me was reflecting God's grace, compassion, vision, creativity, and beauty. Okay. Beauty. She talked about elegance. She talked about being a nurturer. She talked about discernment. I think those are beautiful, beautiful traits to have as a woman. And guess what? You can be a boss and have those traits. Mm-hmm. It don't mean you leaving a trail of dead bodies behind you because you done sliced and diced and cut everybody in the process. You know, you don't have to emasculate men in the midst of being a boss. That's all I'm saying. You know, and here's the thing. You can be a boss and then you can go home and be a baddie to your husband.
Boston Bay.
To your daddy. I'm just saying. it's not that beautiful, delicate balance is what we're talking about, where it's not all boss, all super independent to the point where you don't need a man, but it's like, yes, I can be boss and I can be baddie. You know what I'm saying? I can lead and I can serve. I'm confident and I'm humble. You know what I'm saying? Those are beautiful traits to embody. So let's talk about, what does that look like to be sexy? And we could talk about being sexy as a woman of God in general. If we want to dive into marriage and talk about sex, we can. But what comes to mind when you think about being sexy?
What comes to mind are a lot of the words that mm-hmm. TK used. Mm-hmm. Being confident in who you are, mm-hmm. in your identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And also being confident as a wife, mm-hmm. and those wifely duties and roles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a mom, being nurturing, mm-hmm. like she said. And also, I think for me, it's like also being somewhat independent, mm-hmm. too, in your thinking, mm-hmm. and in things that you are creating, like whether it's writing books or mm-hmm. podcasts or art or whatever it is, yeah. that you are utilizing those creative, yeah. gifts that God has called you to. Mm-hmm. And it's also being submissive to your husband, to your spouse, mm-hmm. as well. But you can also, like she said, you can be a boss, you can be a leader. We talked about sheroes from the Bible, mm-hmm. like Deborah, like you can be a warrior.
Yeah.
And in the sense of you are going to war for the people of God, or Amen. For your household.
Like, absolutely.
You are doing all those things and not emasculating mm-hmm. your husband. Like, mm-hmm. like you said, it's a balance.
Yeah.
And figuring out that balance, mm-hmm. I think, is a process. And I know, like, yeah. for me, it's been a process trying oh, yeah. to figure it out. Like, as I'm bettering myself with, like, my education, mm-hmm. and my career path, but also I'm a mom of four
yeah.
kids and a wife. And, you know, I have to help take care of the house.
Yeah.
And the cooking and cleaning, some, like, I don't do it all, but I contribute. Mm-hmm. So it's finding that balance.
Yeah. Now, you said wifely duties, roles, responsibilities. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but at least two of those words, I think, were said. I can't remember fully. Mm-hmm. But can you talk a little bit about what you consider to be, like, wifely duties, roles, or responsibilities?
Yeah, for sure. You got to be an intercessor. Mm. I have definitely learned that in my journey of marriage. It's like praying mm-hmm. for your husband, yep. with your husband, yep. for your children, yep. with your children. And your husband should be taking, like, the lead on that, but mm-hmm. you are there, I think, to support as well. And you have your own, of course, personal relationship yeah. with God, and your own, like, devotion time yeah. and prayer time, but I also think it's important to mm-hmm. do it together. So I yeah. think that is a huge role as a wife.
Amen.
Is to be an intercessor when it comes to praying for your family. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to, like, practical living, I definitely think you need to have a conversation with your spouse mm-hmm. to understand what that looks like. And for us, it's mm-hmm. more of a partnership, like yeah. where we cook and clean. Like yeah. it's not expected of me to always be the person mm-hmm. that cooks and cleans, but it's a partnership.
Yeah.
But I contribute.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, if Ryan's not working, now you've got to do mm-hmm. all these things. Mm-hmm. It's a partnership.
Yeah.
We are both contributing to the same goals and yeah. working towards the same goals. So I mm-hmm. think all of those are considered yeah. roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
It's helping to take care of the household duties. It's not, like I was saying, it's not like a gender role where it's just, mm-hmm. oh, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. Like, It's really knowing that.
Yeah. I love that you led with prayer, because I think that's super important. I mean, I cannot emphasize how much, how important prayer is. As a wife, I feel like your prayer life goes up when you get married. I mean, number one,
for sure,
you need somebody to talk to. you're going to need moments where you need to vent, like, what is going on, Lord? But then also too, for me, I have learned like the art of praying before I interact with my husband, even honestly, because it helps set the stage for the day. It helps set the atmosphere in our home, you know, and it helps me, you know, with my tone. It helps me with how I approach things, with knowing when to approach things or if I should approach things in conversation. It helps me, like, I feel like God really in those moments kind of gives me the blueprint for this is how I want you to navigate not only your day, but how to navigate your marriage, how to navigate your family, your household, you know. And so I cannot express the importance of that. It's just super important. Like, your prayer life has to be brought up a notch when you get married, especially. And then I will also say, there are going to be times when you may feel like God is telling you all one thing and your husband may be feeling like he's telling you another. And that's fine. I mean, you know, I feel like another wifely duty is to be a sounding board, you know, to be a sounding board, but then in some cases to be a consultant, you know what I'm saying? And really, really being that extra, you know, set of ears or eyes or brain to really help your husband process through certain things and make decisions. Your husband, of course, the final decision should rest with him as the head of the household. But I love the fact, and I thank God for the fact, that my husband asked my opinion, that he asked my thoughts about different things and asked me to weigh in on different things, you know. And in some cases, it may just be like, okay, you go ahead and handle that aspect or whatever, you know. So I am grateful for that. But I feel like God gives us a sense of discernment, spiritual discernment, that is for our families. You know, there may be people in our lives or that, you know, we're doing business with, and the Holy Spirit's like, nope, that ain't it. Don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Or there may be decisions that need to be made. And I feel like it's our job as women to voice those, you know, when God gives us insight into things, you know, to voice them. Again, the ultimate decision should rest with the husband or the head of the household, but at least voice it. At least say, hey, this is what I feel like God is telling us to do, or this is what I feel like God is revealing, or where I feel like God is taking us, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because I do believe God has given us an extra sense of discernment in that area and in that way. And I just believe it comes with that. But going back to prayer, this is why prayer is important, because there are going to be times and some decisions it's like, okay, whatever, you know, if we make the right decision, if we make the wrong decision, God will be glorified. He will use it. He will, you know, put us in the right track where we need to go, whatever. There are other decisions though, where it's like, okay, this is super important. And y'all may not be on the same page, you know. That's why it's important to be married to another believer, because the Holy Spirit can run interference, okay? And I always tell people, women in particular, if you feel like you cannot pray there, or if you cannot go there, pray there. Meaning, if you feel like your husband is not open to hearing what you have to say, or anybody for that matter, then you go to the Father. And you talk to the Father about it. And if it's meant to be, if it is something that needs to happen, you know, you trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will move on that person's heart and reveal to them whatever needs to be revealed. And I can't tell you how many times that has happened. And sometimes it may be a direct download from the Lord or the Holy Spirit where, you know, my husband just out of the blue will be like, I was thinking blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was praying blah, blah, blah. But amen. Amen, man of God. Praise God. You know, or it may be a friend. I can't tell you how many times I may have said something to my husband, and then days later, he'll be like, you know, Ryan was saying so-and-so, and I think so-and-so, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, amen for Ryan. I told you that 5 days ago, but amen for Ryan telling you so-and-so. Like, you just never know. But the reality of it is, that's why it's beautiful to, you know, to witness the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, and to have godly men in your life, to have godly counsel in your life. We have couples that we're accountable to, where if we need to talk through something, we can say, hey, you know, to the husband and wife, what are your thoughts about X, Y, and Z? So all of those things I think are beautiful, and they are incredible traits to have, you know, in marriage. So
yes.
Whew, anything else on being sexy? I mean, I feel like we may have to do another. We may have to come back to that. But yeah, there's, I think I just want to say there's a lot more to being sexy than sex. That's yes. all I'm saying. Because when you inhabit these characteristics in your marriage, it makes you all the more attractive to your spouse. That's all. And vice versa. When my husband operates in biblical masculinity, I'm like, brother, where you come here? You know what I mean? Like, so it's a lot. It's a lot to unpack this. We'll have to come back. But
yes.
let's finish up with submission. And you kind of touched on this, Toya. You kind of touched on this when you were talking about submission in marriage. So we'll end with this question. What does it look like to be a woman who is a leader, but is also submitted to her husband? And that is you. So yes, tell us.
I feel like this is something I'm working towards. Mm-hmm, like I'm in this process Amen. Of being a leader or a yeah. type of leader in the world, but also being a humble wife and mm-hmm. a humble mm-hmm. servant of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like the balance of knowing that you are not the person that is doing everything, like being prideful
mm-hmm.
And feeling like you can do all of this on your own. That's pride.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to be mindful that any of your successes that you do achieve, you are not doing it on your own.
Amen.
You're doing it through the work of Christ or Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit that's dwelling on the inside of you.
Amen.
In addition to the support of your spouse,
mm-hmm.
no matter what that looks like.
So good.
I know that like we've been in a very challenging couple of years mm-hmm. when I was mostly the one
mm-hmm.
making the income.
Yeah.
So it's been a shift where a mindset shift too, mm-hmm. in some cases, for both of us.
Yeah.
And I think for me, just being mindful of I'm still submitted to my spouse, even mm-hmm. though he may not be making income or enough income, mm-hmm. even though I am making the majority of the money at this time in this season for the will of God and whatever God is doing for us in this season.
Mm-hmm.
And just not letting pride creep yeah. in, because pride can creep in when you are put in those type of mm-hmm. positions, and mm-hmm. just being mindful of that.
Yeah, that's really good, Toya. Really, really good. And thank you for being honest about that, because it's definitely a process. And your marriage is definitely going to go through different seasons mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, it's easier for me to submit to you in this season than in this season, you know? And it could be a money thing. It could even be a character thing where it's like, okay, I just feel like you are being whack right now, or you are being a jerk right now, and it's really hard for me to submit to you. So, you know, like there are a lot of different things that can contribute to submission being hard for a wife, especially. I will say for me, I have really learned, again, because it's a process, but I have really learned to find comfort and relief in submission. And I know that may sound like weird or strange, but I mean, I make decisions all day, every day, especially on my job. By the time I'm done logging off, I don't want to make no more decisions. I'm like, whatever you want to do, sugar. What would you like? I mean, seriously, because I'm tired. I don't want to make any more decisions at that point. Now, if I have an opinion, if I have a thought on it, I have no problem giving it. By now, y'all know I'm pretty opinionated. So I will voice what I like, what I don't like, what I want, what I don't want. But I'm just like, babe, what do you want to do? Seriously. So that helps a lot. But then also I will say too, it has provided protection, because when there are big decisions that need to be made and, you know, there needs to be time to think on and pray on those decisions, you know, I rest in the fact that I don't have to make it alone, that I can talk to my husband about it, that I can, you know, lock into his relationship with God and get his insight on it, that it doesn't all have to fall on me, you know, and vice versa with him. And so I think there's protection in submission as well that we don't always acknowledge. We always think when you hear the word submission, you're like, okay, somebody's lording over me. Somebody's controlling the situation. And that is not, God is the only one in control, first and foremost. We can make decisions all day long, but it's God who determines what the outcome is going to be. It's our job as man and wife to be on one accord and in agreement with whatever decisions are made in that household. And so I have found protection in that. I really, really have. I'm in protection in the fact too that he's a man of God. So I'm like, okay, if, you know, if something is wrong or if something isn't the right decision, you know, God will intervene or he will use it as an opportunity for us to grow and learn from it. So again, this is a process for us both. We are learning in the process. This is another topic that we probably need to come back to, but I at least wanted to touch on it because submission is not an Old Testament word, meaning it did not go out of style with the Old Testament. You know what I mean? It is very real and very relevant for today's women, you know, and honestly, I rest in the fact that I can submit to a man who is submitted to God, who was submitted to other men. You know what I mean? It makes it easier for me to submit to my husband when I know that he submitted to other people as well as God. So we're just going to leave you with that for now and close out with not noble character. You have a BE challenge for us?
No, I don't have a BE challenge for this week. Well, I can make one up.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So a BE challenge for our singles out there. If you are single, your challenge is to reflect on something that we said and pray about it with your Holy Spirit and see if there is something that you need to work on if you are exhibiting any of those toxic traits. And for our married people, your challenge is to reflect on your marriage and see if there's any areas that you need to work on as it relates to submission. So those are your challenges.
Really good.
For the BE challenge. And as always, don't forget to get your merch at Becoming Eva today. Get your mugs, your water bottles, your jackets, your totes, all the things. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys back for our season finale.
Oh, season finale. Bye, y'all. See you soon.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.